Hey, everybody. We're back from vacation, and boy, did we watch and do a lot of stuff, which generated a lot of off-the-clock content. It's going to be probably pretty heavy episode. I don't even know if we'll be able to get to everything, because I'm just going to not talk about any of the Christmas stuff that I did and saw, because it's not Christmas season anymore, and I talked about the majority of the good stuff, and just get right to the meat. Okay, Jim, I want to get started with Station 11. Mm-hmm. I have heard by far the most amount of demands for us to talk about something on social media and emails and forums and whatnot. Station 11, all I heard was, you got to watch it. It's got those leftover vibes. It's just like Leftovers. It's like a post-apocalyptic, cult show, just like The Leftovers. And I'm like, well, damn, I gotta watch this show. But I felt like the same way that, like, I went to see La La Land and everybody was saying, oh, it's the best Hollywood musical in a long time. And people were comparing it to things like Singing in the Rain. I'm like, fuck, this must be some kind of movie. And I go watch it, and it's like, it's not Singing in the Rain. It's not even close. And I feel like, if I just watched Station Agent just on my own without having the fact that, like, it's the next Leftovers, and I guess there's some connection. The showrunner is the guy who was a staff writer, and I think co-executive producer for The Leftovers. It's got Nick Cues, which is Carlton Cues's son, as a staff writer, which is, you know, another Lindelof connection there. I don't think this is nearly as good as The Leftovers, but... And there's one episode that I actually hated okay. with a passion. I wish I hadn't had that comparison in my mind. What did you think about Station 11?
I understand totally why people are comparing it. It has very similar vibes. It's got a cult in it. It's a post-apocalyptic, which I guess you can call Leftovers post-apocalyptic. It has those vibes for sure.
Lower A case apocalypse, or no, you're not 2% of the population versus 99.9%. Yeah.
And the thing that makes it the most Leftovers feeling in my mind is the timey sort of flashback way that they tell stories. And there isn't like a real supernatural element to this, you know, unless you consider a flu that can kill basically everyone on the planet. Very extraordinarily rapidly, supernatural, which I don't, especially after the last couple of years. But I don't know. It feels like Leftovers for sure, in the way it tells its stories and in some of the setting and some of the plot. But I agree. I don't think it's as good as Leftovers. But that's a hard bar to clear because Leftovers is one of my favorite shows of all time. So,
oh yeah.
You know, I would have to sit with this for a while, right? Leftovers wasn't my favorite show of all time in season one. It became that as it grew. So, like, I think that it still has time. I don't know what they're going to do for the finale of this season, if they're going to have all the same characters, if they're going to change up the setting at all. But it's, I don't know, it has potential for sure.
One second. Hello, John.
Oh, shit.
Hey. Well, what I think is interesting is this actually going to be an ongoing concern? My understanding is this is based on a book. It's going to be a miniseries, and it's going to conclude. I don't know if they've got designs to. I mean, because it's the same thing with The Leftovers. The Leftovers was a book, and the entirety of the book happened in season one.
Yeah.
But yet The Leftovers kept on going for two more seasons. So, like, they definitely could do that, and I'd be open to it. But I guess that's one of my biggest problems. If I was going to compare... The Leftovers to Station 11 is, like, Station 11 tries to have it's such a more compressed storytelling that they have their essentially, like, International Assassin's Hotel episode in, like, the third episode of the series. Like, they go pretty gonzo, pretty... Whereas The Leftovers is, other than the event that happens, it's unexplained, the supernatural event that takes 2% of the world's population, everything else is extremely grounded and extremely small scale. But you just see these normal people interacting with this extraordinary situation, and it builds and builds and builds until the end of season two, when they start, you know, swinging a little bit harder for the fences. It kind of works, and I felt like this, because... they're actually showing a real apocalypse and a real breakdown of civilization.
Yeah, yeah.
And what that looks like. Some of that stuff happened just too fast and too furious for me to keep up with.
Yeah, I feel you. Some of those episodes feel like they could have spanned three episodes, you know, and intercut between others. But, like, I don't know. It definitely, I understand the Leftovers comparisons. I think it's a very good show. And I'm really enjoying the parts of it where they are telling these post-apocalyptic stories. Like, you know, how does a society go from what we know today to whatever the hell the traveling symphony or traveling orchestra, whatever they are, is? Traveling theater?
I think it's a symphony. Yeah.
Okay. How does it go from, you know, today to that? I feel like I haven't quite got there. I've seen 7 of the 9 episodes that are out currently. And I don't think they've connected those dots yet, but I can see where they would start to connect those dots.
Yeah, and I'm going to
all these characters
keep it kind of spoiler free for a couple more minutes, because I want to talk about the things I really do like. The cast is amazing.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Mackenzie Davis is awesome. I love her.
She's amazing. Some of the set piece episodes where they talk about Miranda Carroll and her life and how she meets, I forget the name of the dad.
Arthur.
I thought that was a really good episode. The show looks amazing. It's got a lot of imagination. There is some post-apocalyptic theater, and I'm constantly delighted at the imagination they show in depicting, like, the costuming.
The glove cape is my favorite.
Oh my God! Someone shows up like a Game of Thrones style fur, fur lined cape, and the fur lining are like what do you call those? Golf gloves.
Golf gloves. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Just layered over each other. It's really cool.
And it looks like, I mean, it's amazing.
It looks like feathers or something.
Exactly. Yeah. And episode 7, I think, is the one where they do the Station 11 reenactment. The handmade spaceman outfits and stuff that they use in that are just to make me happy.
The toilet paper roll helmet.
Yeah, yes.
That's another amazing one.
Yes. They show a lot of imagination, and I really like those sets. In fact, there's nothing that I didn't. The thing that I really didn't like, the thing that didn't work for me, and this is held true for so much of apocalyptic fiction, is I don't feel like people really grapple with the idea of what would the fall of civilization look like and feel like to the people that are watching it, and how would the survivors, what skill sets and utility would certain survivors have? And episode 5 to me put all of those flaws and misunderstandings and just my suspension of disbelief cratered to the ground when I got to episode 5 and they detailed, like, okay, here is a small band of survivors. This is why they're going to survive. And this is how, and I just didn't buy any of it.
They have a leader. They have hope. That's all you need, right?
Well, I think
hope is all you need.
Their leadership's shit. And,
you think so?
I have a problem.
I like Clark.
I like Clark fine as a triumphant organizing body.
Okay, without spoilers, I can't say much on that.
Triumvirate means something.
It does, yeah. In the context of the show, it means something else, but...
Yeah. And I guess that's where, you know, that's... And I hate it. I hate it that the things I really want to talk about are the problems I have with something.
Huh.
That's the thing. Like, I tend to roll, like, you know, if I'm in 100% agreement with everybody, it's, like, not as interesting of a conversation as, like, well, what is the thing? And I realize... I am on an island. I ran a poll on my personal Twitter, not even the Bald Move Twitter, my personal. So these are people that I've selected to probably like my ideas and thoughts and be amenable to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like 11% of the respondents felt the way I did about that. Everybody else thought it was good to great. That episode 5.
I enjoyed it. I didn't have the same problems about, like, depicting the fall, and a lot of the times they skip over that stuff, right? even in that episode, they mostly skip over that stuff. Like the stuff that you're talking about, I think, is like the way that the community forms, because that's all that really happens in that episode, right? They don't go into like, okay, how are they going to survive? Where are they going to get food? Where are they going to get water? Where, like, how are their, you know, hierarchy of needs going to get met? They mention that, but they kind of don't like detail it. So I don't know. It's, you're just having a problem with how the community.
No, it's not
came
even
together.
That. Okay, let's get the spoilers here. Or is there anything unspoilery, non-spoilery we want to talk about before we tell people, hey, you need to fast forward to the next section, because we've got a lot of stuff we're going to be talking about.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay. So if you want to watch Station 11, who, you know, a lot of people are comparing it to The Leftovers and a lot of people are really loving and finding no problems with, then you should definitely go do so. It's on HBO Max right now. The finale episode comes out this week, so you still have time to catch up to the conversation. It's only 9 episodes. They're about an hour, so it's not an insurmountable ask to get caught up. But we're going to start talking about spoilers now. What I thought, I don't know. This Severn Airport thing, there's a whole bunch of stuff that I didn't like about it, and it all revolves around Tyler.
Okay.
Like, at the end of this episode, an 11-year-old boy just walks off into the post-apocalyptic wilderness.
Yeah.
And survives
okay.
to become a man.
The second young person who has seemingly done the same, right?
Except for you, with the other seemingly young person, you had them spend several times with an adult in the app. Uh-huh. So it's like I felt yeah. like that there was, and we haven't even got to that story, like exactly how that relationship is broken down.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna be generous and think that there's like an Ellie Joel, The Last of Us, where everyone's kind of learning the skills at the same time, and you're allowed to take this child and like give them the skill set, and who knows, she might go from the care of
Jeevan.
Yeah, Jeevan to the Traveling Symphony. She might end up at that.
Yeah, it could be.
But like, I don't know, and it's not just like, this isn't like a Eagle Scout kid. It's like a rich kid. Mm-hmm. You know, psychological issues, seems like he doesn't make a lot of well thought out decisions, is going to do this alone.
But he's got the knowledge of capitalism, Aaron. Everything he could download from Wikipedia, he knows.
All of the ruling elite in this society are theater kids.
Yes.
And like, what do you know about Lake Michigan? And how grueling a traveling thing that makes the circuit around Michigan like once every 2 or 3 years, I think is what they do.
A lot of woods, a lot of wildlife up there.
It's just brutal cold, feet
and
of snow.
Cold, yeah.
Like mm-hmm. the lake effect. I don't know that these people survive. I would love to see them depict like what is winter look like with the traveling sympathy. How do
right.
they survive?
How
do they feed
up
30, 40, 50 people? During these times when...
I get that it's like... There's some element of patronage here, maybe? From
there must
the
be.
People that they perform for? Yeah.
But, you know, and I was trying to do the math of like, okay, the greater Chicago area, and you've got like the Twin Cities and some of the... Like what mm-hmm. what is the population base? If you take this and you divide it by 1,000,
right.
how many people are this... You know, can a traveling theater troupe that does Shakespeare, which is already
and
a niche...
There's still tens of thousands of people, right? There's...
Enough to survive. Enough to.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm getting caught up in the world building. But
sure.
Like I said, Severn City Airport is an interesting idea. This regional airport, it gets cut off early enough into the pandemic where they're spared like the worst of the transmission. They're able to survive on the food mall court food. They just got a supply of solar panels that they're able to rig up, and all that stuff is. Okay, it's fine. But they just do a lot of like weird stuff where like Clark is having these conversations into a microphone and the kid is listening to him and he's talking about like what a daint. And I'm like, well, what is the, I don't know. What has the kid done to make him seem like he's this threat? Why is Clark talking about him this way? Mm-hmm. There's just a bunch of stuff like that.
Yeah, he calls him a destroyer at some point, and I feel like he's clued into something that I'm not
yes.
really as an audience member. I'm with you on that, because he just seems like a quiet kid who you know, has lost his dad and been ignored by his mother. So
I guess that's, you said that you felt like you weren't on the same page as the material, and you talked about the skipping some of the stuff about the fall of civilization. I guess that's where I felt like I wasn't seeing what people thought about the brilliance of episode five, or why people thought it was because to me, just when I was getting engaged in some of the stuff they were doing, they would skip ahead and it was jarring. Like, when I thought it was almost a joke when Clark said, "All right, attention, everyone. I'm going to address, like, who the fuck are you? You're a washed up actor that never even really washed out. He wasn't washed in to wash out. Like, no one, this is no one. This is like, no one has ever heard of this guy." And he calls everyone's attention and he gives this rousing thing about, like, you know, the guy we thought was like the big head honcho, he's fucked us and he's left us, but we this is actually our increased chance of survival. And I'm like, I don't, and everyone's nodding like this, and I'm like, why is this working?
Yeah, I feel like I need to know more about Shakespeare and the theater to really understand that episode, because there's something going on between Elizabeth and him where she says, like, oh, good job, Mark Anthony, or whatever. And I'm like, oh, I don't get that. I don't get that at all.
Well, that's a reference to the triumvirate. He was one of the three of the triumvirate. So,
see,
like,
I need to know more, and I bet there's more going on if I really understood.
It's possible.
Some of that stuff, but
I thought I got all the references. I just thought it's okay. Like, why does anyone listen to this guy? Like, if Kevin Garvey from The Leftovers gets up on a podium and asks, it's like, well, he's the chief of police of the town.
Sure.
So he's got a little bit of authority. You know, plus, like, I don't think The Leftovers did that very much. Like, you know, if he was giving speech to his friends and family, people have, like, I just don't understand why so many strangers would just like is the show's thesis that people are just hungry for authority and they will,
I,
like,
think so, yeah. Well, in that
they're
particular
sheep that need
scenario
to be led.
Mm-hmm. Seems like it. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people aren't equipped to get through life by themselves. Shit, I'm probably not. I need society and or a leader in its place.
I just don't understand why these three, like, two actors, like a B-tier actor, an actor that no one's ever heard of, and a mall cop, essentially, are what everyone's going to listen to. 'Cause, like, I guess I've learned the exact opposite lessons that this show is trying to instill in my experience in the pandemic. Like, I don't think people necessarily want to coalesce around a leader. I think they want to be told what they want to hear.
Gotcha.
I mean, that's what Clark is. Maybe Clark is just telling them that, hey, no matter what, we're going to be okay, and we've got a plan for power and water
and
food.
He sees an opportunity here because, like, the opportunity is Mercer, or whatever the janitor's name was, went, like, took their hope from them, right? Like, he was the guy that was, like, telling them, you know, hey, I've got this island or whatever. Or he didn't even tell these people. He just ran off with a bunch of the, like, a third or two-thirds of the people in the place. And then I feel like, yeah, the people wanted to hear that that wasn't their hope, you know, dashed.
They weren't the leftovers. They weren't
exactly,
the left behinds.
Yeah,
they weren't,
yeah.
Yeah.
And so he told them that, right? Like, oh, you guys just dodged a bullet because this guy was psychotic. He wasn't who he says he is. He was clearly just trying to fuck, I don't know, the women's soccer team or something.
Yeah, that's that's the clear indication, except for the goalie for whatever reason.
Yeah, I don't know why. But I don't know. So he was telling them what they wanted to hear in that moment, I think. At the same time, instilling himself as a leader, because I don't think he even really wanted to be the leader, right? He's just staring out the window and drinking most of that episode. So
I don't know, because there's also this massive inferiority complex he has
with Arthur,
and there's, like, some kind of, I think, ex love affair. There's something there's something there that I don't get. In fact, I think you are just about to get to another, like, Clark heavy episode where they delve into a little bit more, and I thought
that was right.
Yeah.
I saw an image of him looking real interesting.
Yeah. So I wish we'd seen episode 8, because then there's a whole other thing. Like, you catch back up to, you know, he introduced this concept of the Museum of Civilization, and you catch back up to the you know, the Museum of Civilization in episode 8 and see how that thing, how the other half has been living. But
yeah, there's still plenty of good stuff to talk about aside from episode 5 or whatever happens in 8. I thought episodes 3 and 7 were the strongest for me.
Seven
is fantastic. Yeah.
7 was amazing. 3 was excellent. I thought 7, I would have set 3 as a standout episode, and then I saw episode 7 and it was just so good.
Yeah. No, the stuff with Miranda I thought was awesome in 3. But the stuff with Mackenzie Davis in 7, and these are very spoiler heavy talks, so here we go. I really love the end of that when she's sitting in her mind with Frank's body, and it's all, you know, completely desiccated, right? It's a skeleton at this point. And there's plants that have grown up all around it in his bedroom in this high rise in Chicago. This is all happening obviously in her mind. But she's like giving herself permission not to feel the guilt of that anymore. She's thanking him for like letting her feel that for a long time, but not needing to anymore. I thought it was just a really beautifully told moment of like getting over a particular hang up that she had for her whole life.
And that felt really realistic. Like the two brothers, like trying to debate about when is it safe to go outside? Is it safe to go outside? The one brother having a disability. Not just physical. I also got like maybe he's got a psychological hang up, like a little bit of an agoraphobia kind of thing.
I think so, yeah.
And like, what does that mean? You know, like what is, I guess, like, you know, broadly speaking, what are people's risk tolerances? You know, as far as like, hey, do you wait until you're literally starving before you start to venture out? And when you got a, you know, there's some of that in the Severn Airport episode too, like, you know, when they shot the guy that came off the plane, like nobody knows shit about this disease. Like that seemed like a rational thing. Like you got a guy who might need help, but like also like he's coming towards the people. This is a thing that kills 99.9% of the people. He might be naturally immune, but he might be carrying it. Like, hey, stop, you don't stop, you shoot him, you quarantine people for, all that stuff seemed reasonable to me, but some of the characters treated it as kind of ridiculous, and when you just had three people, one of them a child, all that stuff seemed to work a lot better, because, like, you know, they're two brothers, they're not strangers, so, like, the one brother, you know, doesn't want to just leave this guy behind. He wants to bring him along, and there's a reason why this discussion, this detention between it, like worked. And again, that's also like I thought had some of the most inventive costuming.
Yes.
What do you think about the framing of the Station 11 itself? This graphic novel that has such a profound effect on people.
Yeah, it seems to be the thing that everyone identifies with. Everyone who reads it sees themselves in at least one of the characters. I like it. I think that is like it's sort of cinema or you know, storytelling in a nutshell, like good storytelling anyway, when there's something that everyone can see themselves in, a character or a situation or something. So I like it. I'm not sure like exactly what to make of it. I wish like Station 11 were a comic book that I could actually read.
I keep coming to that too because a lot of this feels like this is a tribute to the greatest graphic novel in the world.
Yes,
100%. This is not.
It's not it.
The greatest, but it's a tribute. You
can
know?
Imagine what would be in that novel. Yeah, that comic book, right?
Just enough. The art. I think the art looks good. There's a couple of like one-liners and quotes, but like it feels a little cheating because as you go on the episodes, people can drop these extremely emotional cultural callbacks to each other, and it's very insular too. There's only two copies ever made.
Right.
What are the odds that like the protagonist and antagonist of the whole series would be those people? Yes. But I'm almost like it feels a little cheating because whatever the writer of the series wants us to think about a particular thing, they can just attribute it to the graphic novel.
Right.
And all of a sudden, it has all this gravitas and meaning.
And
it's
I
not
can't
earned.
Tell if it hangs together as a story for a graphic novel. It's because it's like every once in a while they'll just inject it and say that a character identifies with this, you know, two frames or something.
Yes.
I'm like, okay, well, is Dr. Eleven a consistent character? Because I can't tell based on what I'm seeing. And ultimately, it doesn't matter, I guess. Like, the story that they're telling is about these people, not about this comic. But I do wish I had a little more insight into that. Maybe we'll get it by the end of the season.
Yeah, I am waiting for like something to bring it all together. But there's so much telling rather than showing on the show. Like, they just tell us that things are happening instead of like us. To me, I guess I'm arguing that this should be more of a Leftovers thing. Like, I think the first three episodes should have been the first season. And then the next three episodes, like, take your time. And also, I don't know if I agree with the timey-wimey nature of, like, the extreme flat, like, waiting till like episode 7 until we flash back to a crucial scene between Arthur and Clark, or, you know, for example. Yes. Some of that stuff feels cheating in the ways I've seen lesser shows do, where it's like, well, if they just told the story, it wouldn't be nearly as interesting as they told it this way.
I agree. I think the show is leaning on playing fast and loose with its setting, playing fast and loose with its framing device. It's doing a lot of things that a writer can get away with in small doses, but it's doing them with like everything. And it does make me come away feeling like this is not as cohesive as something like The Leftovers. But I don't...
Which really took its time.
It does, yeah. It totally takes its time. And it's just a smaller story, too, right? It's like about a group of people in one place, and it's a very small group of people. There are like 4 or 5 of them, 6 of them maybe. But this is about a lot of people scattered over a much larger area. Yeah, it's a different thing, but I do feel like they're taking shortcuts. Not enough that it's pulling me out of it. I'm not actively sitting there thinking, boy, they really shortcutted that. But when I look back at it, I'm like, I can't quite piece together everything they're doing here because of those shortcuts.
Yeah, there's a couple. I've also delved into a little bit of the broader meta discussion about the graphic, or about the original, novella that this is based on. And I keep on coming away as like, I don't understand why they didn't do it more just like what the book was. There's multiple instances. Station 11.
No. I mean, what is more like the book? What do you mean by that?
Is it Jeevan? Jeevan is the guy okay. In the book, he is like a paramedic in training.
Okay.
And when Arthur collapses on stage, he feels like he kind of waits to see if someone more qualified than he is going to pick up. And in the series, they don't really give it why he steps forward to do that. It's just kind of like, almost feels like he's injecting himself into action because he's a little bit of an attention seeker. And
yeah, I felt like there was something compelling him there, but I didn't. The show doesn't say, and I didn't think I could quite put my finger on it, because he specifically says like, hey, is there a doctor? I don't know why I got up here, because I have no skills that would help.
Yeah, like I don't, is it so that when they wanted him to feel extra helpless when his brother is mortally wounded and it feels like there's nothing he could do? Whereas if a paramedic, it's like, well, he should at least start.
But that would have worked anyway, because he doesn't have the support structure that a paramedic would normally have. Right,
he doesn't
have
the drug.
Right?
He can just like, if someone gets gut wound, stabbed, and it's like, you're going to be a paramedic, but unless you have the drugs, unless you have the ambulance, like, crucially, you have the thing that takes people to the hospital for the real work to be done, you're kind of fucked.
And that would make me feel more helpless, knowing I had the skills and the understanding to help this person, but I didn't have the facilities. I didn't have the structure that I would normally have to use those skills. So that would be so frustrating.
It's bizarre changes like that. And there's also an undercurrent of, and I guess you haven't seen episode 8, so I don't know if you're seeing any of this, mm-hmm. but I'm getting an undercurrent of, there's a perspective in this that I think comes across as maybe we are all overreacting to the coronavirus, or we're being a little bit babies about it. You know, there's this perspective of like, they show Clark in this later episode as being obsessed with still maintaining these quarantines 20 years into the pandemic, and still going through the motions of, you know, making people. And also, like, when they finally, like, they like break quarantine, but they have these people like wearing surgical gowns and just like face shields, no masks or anything, no, almost like it's pandemic theater rather than something. And I'm like, I, as I was watching it, and I kept on getting uncomfortable. I was like, well, what the fuck are they trying to tell us? And I guess, like, as I watched this, I kept on thinking about, like, oh, my God, for the next decade, we're just going to get a whole bunch of theater kids' perspective on the pandemic out of Hollywood. Uh-huh. And if this is the alpha flight, I don't know that I wanted to be see much more, because it's just very shallow, self-absorbed point of view and perspective, in my opinion. And that's kind of like the unseriousness of it is one of the things that is kind of, you know, bothered me as well, or what it feels like unserious grappling with those issues.
Gotcha. I do feel like the pre-pan and post-pan stuff that they're doing could be super interesting in that world. And I don't know where they're going to go with that. It seems like, much like The Leftovers, a cult has sort of formed around some of the natural outcroppings of ideas from mm-hmm. the apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
But that was one of the more fascinating ones to me. It's like, what is the divide here between people who remember the old world and people who don't and are not interested in the ideas of the old world?
I do like that. See, that's the thing. It's like, sometimes I kind of wish I could. I wish this came out in 2019. So I don't have the real life pandemic and experiences and the political realities of that kind of like are fucking with my enjoyment of the show itself, because that's what I keep coming back to. It's right. Like, I just,
and it's a different thing, right? Like, 1 in 1,000 people dying is way different than like 1 in 1 million or 1 in 5 million, whatever it is.
The survival rates is almost inverted, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So I think, like, you know, we didn't have a total structural collapse of our society, but it's possible in a world that does, that you would have a very different outcome. Like, different people survive, right? The loners would be more likely to survive. The people who aren't inherently like connected to other people to get this thing. That's a different scenario, I think.
And they kind of have that tension with Jeevan too, right? His brother is that recluse that would be, you know, one of the last people kind of keeping the...
Yeah.
And totally. Then there's a couple things where, like, I kind of felt my suspension of disbelief slipping, like the fact that, like, this guy's got this high rise apartment that they blaze lights 24/7 and no one has come to like, you know, prey on them or check on them or whatever. And then, of course, by the end of the episode, something happens. I'm okay. Because I keep on waiting for natural things to happen, like things I'm wondering, like, what, and like, most of the time the episodes don't seem to be on the same wavelength that I am, or like, they're not worried about the same things I'm worried about, or they're not interested in the same things I'm interested about, and that kind of like dissonance. And again, that's not necessarily a bad show, it's just not really meshing with me well. And honestly, like, I felt that way about The Leftovers in reverse. Like, why aren't more people, like, taken with this fascinating fucking show that's supreme? So, like, I get it if you're, like, saying, I don't understand what Aaron's going on about. Like, I understand that, because that's how I felt with most of pop culture and the majority of the run of The Leftovers. It just wasn't getting its due. It wasn't getting its props and...
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think this is the first show I think I've heard people actively compare it to The Leftovers. So I got excited when I heard that, and it's just hasn't lived up.
I think it's closer to The Leftovers than not.
I'll agree with that.
And I don't think the show is doing everything perfectly. I don't think it's doing everything as well as Leftovers did, but I think it's doing it well enough for me to be really fascinated by the world that they're building, because that to me is the most interesting part. Like, this traveling symphony, this museum of creation.
Yeah.
Or civilization, Museum of Civilization.
Museum of Civilization. Yeah.
Museum of Creation is different. What do you want? I live very close to Kentucky. So I don't know. It's doing a lot of really cool stuff. It's just a slightly different than what The Leftovers was doing, and maybe not quite as well. But I'm really enjoying it.
I am looking forward to seeing the penultimate and finale episodes to see if that, because, you know, those sometimes are real game changers. Like, I enjoyed The Leftovers, but, like, it wasn't until the last few episodes of season one that I'm like, Jesus Christ, this is some of the best. And it wasn't even until the last few episodes of season two where I'm like, oh, this is entering the pantheon.
Right, exactly.
This is shit that I've literally never seen before, thought about before, and having emotional impacts on me that I don't even fully understand. So, yeah, that's why I just keep thinking that, like, man, I wish they took their time and told this story in a slightly more straightforward manner and kind of dwelled on some of the issues and took time. Because, like, you just really have to understand, I think, guys like Clark at a deeper level than I do to make something like Episode 5 work. And gotcha. If you're fine to just let, and maybe if I hadn't heard of the, if I hadn't lived through a pandemic, if I hadn't heard of The Leftovers before, I would be content to just kind of like skim along the surface of this show, and just take it for what it is. But I keep on thinking it's going to, because people are talking about it that way, that it's going to turn into something more. What else do we want to talk about Station 11? Because there's two more episodes to go. We're definitely going to watch it and talk about it on OTC again.
Yeah, that's the thing. When you get to episode 6 and that one ends, the way that they cut that off and the way that episode 7 comes back, I'm almost certain that there's no way that Mackenzie Davis can survive this. If there is another season, this first season, if this is the end, I don't think she makes it to the end. And I think it's telling that they don't actually come back to her in episode 8, right? I don't know what episode 9 does, or I assume they don't come back to her in episode 8. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
Mildly interesting, Jim.
Okay. The way that episode 6 ends, I don't think there's any way she could possibly survive.
Mildly interesting.
I don't see a scenario in which these red bandanas, whatever they're called, would want to take her prisoner. So, and she's already been poisoned, and I don't know. It's looking bad for her. We'll see.
I can't wait in a couple weeks to talk to you about it again at OTC. I was deliciously close to, because we talked about this before, like how many children's asses do you think you could kick if you had to? Right. Like you got a horde of children are coming and they're going to kill you.
Are they strapped with mines?
They're going to kill
you. The number is zero if that's the case.
But you know, like when Mackenzie's like when those kids like start coming out of the bushes and like and then like they get this one slightly older kid that's got like a beanie cap and he starts talking crazy shit, cult shit, and I'm like,
I'd be worried about him the most.
I'm like, but yeah, that's I like, if I'm Mackenzie Davis, I fucking come in like Jorge Madrigal with like the flying knee and I just cave that kid's sunken chest in and then I just grab the nearest children and start savagely beating them. I could take this whole crowd on. I could take this whole crowd on. I'd be morally justified because they're going to kill me if I don't.
The things you fantasize about, man.
I'm not saying
I don't know if that's a parent thing or what, but I don't think in those terms.
You know, when the crazy children virus hits us, I know who's going to be surviving and who's going to be caught with their fucking pants down.
I'm gonna strap a mine to my chest. I dare you kids to come at me.
Also, oh god, you haven't seen 8, so you can't hear a comment, but like I don't know. It feels like that this show wanted me to believe that Tyler is just an insane, irredeemable, crazy person.
Yeah.
And yet they're also kind of redeeming him.
Trying to.
And making him into and I'm like, I just saw him strap landmines to children and kill a bunch of people. That's unforgivable.
And especially when they're pitting him against like an unknown, which is the Museum of Creation, right? Museum of Civilization. when they're pitting him against an unknown, I am more inclined at this point to trust the unknown. It doesn't seem like there's anything too crazy going on at the museum, but they're framing it like, oh, the museum is so bad. There's so much evil there. But that's coming from an evil guy. So
it's coming from a guy who thinks that modern civilization was a mistake and that the world falling apart was like an inevitable and good result, I think, is his ethos.
I don't know what the undersea stuff is all about exactly, but sure.
That's where I have, like, I mean, I wish I'm like you. I wish I could read Station 11 to see where he's getting this ethos, because that's the other thing, is like, I didn't feel like they connected the dots with Tyler. Like, I don't understand why he went evil and crazy. I don't understand why his mother didn't do a better job of helping him understand, her attitude, where it's like, I can't believe you shot that guy, and I can't believe you're like her rolling her eyes, like, I guess I'll quarantine myself if we'll make you fucking people happy. I'm like, you know what? Pap, 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 pap. All you gotta do, airport security guy, is like pop two more people, and this, as far as I can tell, this show's over. Like, are you sure you don't want to? Elizabeth and Tyler and Clark are just insufferable for me.
Gotcha.
Anything else you want to talk about with Station 11?
I think that's it.
Okay. All right, it turns out because of some things beyond our control, Jim's internet went down. We're actually recording this live in my studio, because of all that complications, we're not going to have time to go over all the other stuff we want to talk about on OTC. So what we're going to do is just release the Station 11 content, and we're going to record another hurry-up edition of OTC within the week and get that out to talk about the other stuff. And then we'll get back to our regular OTC schedule, because there isn't a regular OTC schedule. We can do this. We can just do a one-show OTC and come back and backfill it in later. So that's what we're going to do. Thank you very much for your support and for your patronage and for your club membership. And we'll be back with another OTC that talks about the rest of the stuff out real soon. And we'll catch you on that one. See ya.